We were listening to Voice of the Martyrs and listening to a lady who went to Tibet ministering to the Tibetan people. And these are Buddha worshipers. These are those who actually have a combination of those of Buddha or Buddhism and earth kind of worship. And so it was really hard to break through. She ended up breaking through to one man. He was converted, and he suffered. He was ostracized by his family, by his friends. He ended up being persecuted, and then the knock came to her door. After they had washed these people's feet, literally, washed their feet, every one of them, they washed their feet, a knock came, and five policemen took her to prison, and they beat her. And for numbers of days, I don't know how long it was, but numbers and numbers of days, they did unthinkable things, and the whole time she said the Lord gave her strength to say to them as they were beating her, Jesus loves you. Jesus loved, over and over. And after a while, when it got even worse, she would say to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I want to make sure that we understand today something about what's happening here. There's not a lot of cultural opposition for just doing what we're doing today. For that man to desire to be baptized in his culture meant the loss of so much. In our culture, especially in the Bible Belt, no, we're not in the Bible Belt, but still, in our culture, we haven't come to that point yet. It's an expected thing to see people are baptized, part of their church, part of their faith family, if you will. There's no way for me to recreate the kind of cultural conditions that are in other parts of the world, that were in the world when Jesus walked on this earth, when the early church did. I mean, I could hold the baptismal candidates down maybe a couple minutes, might be close to some kind of, I'm not going to do that, don't worry. There's nothing that I can do to recreate that, but you need to understand a couple of things about what we're doing and why this is so important. Because this symbol represents a reality that should be happening in your lives. These five blessed candidates are coming up, and I just want to remind you of what Jesus says to his disciples. I remind you of words that were actually just spoken by Katie. And think about what this means. So in Matthew chapter 16, after a wonderful confession is given by Peter, representing really the other disciples, this confession that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to what Jesus tells his disciples in verse 24. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This isn't just liturgy. What we're doing here is representing something that has occurred in these individual lives, a change. They've been born again. They've been given this new hope in Christ by God's miraculous work. They've been changed. They're new creatures in Christ with new interests, new desires. Yes, this is a symbol of cleansing. Yes, it's a symbol of the washing of forgiveness that God gives. But more than anything, this symbol is of a life completely and utterly identified with Christ. A life that owns this passage that says, I will follow Christ. I will take up my cross, whatever that may be, whatever that entails. I'm following him. We are so concerned about trivial things in our lives. We're so concerned about whether we have, you know, this 401k or this kind of job or this kind of career path. None of that matters. What matters is what was just read a little bit ago in Galatians chapter 2, isn't it? I mean, just think about this for a second. Is this your identity? Those who are professing Christ here, is this a verse that you can say and embrace with a wholehearted devotion? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This symbol going under the water is a picture of the death to our old self. It's a picture of our full identity with the death of Christ himself and saying, as he was buried, I am buried. My old self, I want it to be put away. I don't want it any longer. I want Christ. I want to live for him, no matter what the cost. My ambitions are surrendered to Him. My interests are surrendered to Him. My pursuits, all of them are surrendered to Him. That's what's being spoken here in the baptismal pool. My life is Christ. All I have is Christ. Others may flee. Family may reject me. Friends may leave me. I may lose opportunities. I may be persecuted. I may be oppressed. I may lose privileges. That's okay because I have everything in Christ, and I am His and He is mine. See, that's the picture that we have in the baptismal pool. Now I want to go to one more passage and then we'll close this time. It's in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, because Romans chapter 6 is describing for us spiritual baptism. It's actually describing to us the very thing that occurred, that's the reality that this represents. It's the true thing that has already happened in the hearts of these individuals. It says this in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? So think about this whole formula is about, is it okay to push the level of sin to the point where I can say, yeah, it's just grace has covered it, so I don't have to think about it much anymore. It's not that big a deal. That's, he says, by no means, never. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Think about being buried in the water, that picture. We died to sin, still live in it. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death, fully identified with Him, is what it's saying. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's the new part, the new life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So I want you, as you're watching these candidates go under the water and back up, I want you to recognize that this is a picture of what God has already wrought in their own hearts by the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, dying in their place, taking the judgment, the wrath of God upon Himself for us, for them, for all of their sin, past, present, and future. They now have new life. They now have a right standing with God. They have been cleansed, but they have also been joined to His forever family. They have been adopted as children of God. They've been made new. They have been crucified with Christ. And for you baptism candidates, I want you to be thinking about this today. As you come up out of that water, it's a picture of the devotion and the commitment that you have, because what you're saying to all these people is that I am Christ. I'm with you in this journey, in this mission that we're on. I need your help. I need your accountability. I need your encouragement. I need you praying for me. I need you to confront me. I need all those things so that I could live my life for His glory. You're not just getting wet. You're obeying God's command. Let's pray that He would be glorified in it. Father, please now use this ordinance as You have designed it for our weak, weak flesh to remind us, to call us back to who all of us are, no matter when we were baptized, to who we are in Christ. Renew in us that commitment, that devotion to walk as Christ walked, to follow in His steps as the Scriptures tell us. We confess our deep need for You today. We needed to be justified, certainly to have a right standing with You, and we need today to be sanctified more and more to be made in the image of Christ. Would You please do this work, and would You please bring encouragement upon our hearts as we behold this wondrous design that you have given to Your church. Thank You for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, slain for sinners, raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God, coming again, and working for the good of His church each and every day in His church, in each and every one of us. Thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.